Yo, welcome back to the Dynasty Pulse podcast. I'm your host, Austin Abbott, and I'm paired with my co-hosts, Nick DeGroot and Alex Clayton.
Yo,
what's going on?
Today, we're paired with one of the greatest minds in all of Dynasty, Kyle Matthew. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Yo, how's it going, you guys? Doing all right? Always a pleasure to be on here, and, you know, ready to talk some controversial wide receivers.
How's your family doing, man? Good?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Doing our best to stay safe. Yeah, these crazy times that are hopefully coming to an end soon.
Yeah, man, we hear you. We're glad that you're safe. Once again, I'm Austin Abbott. Thanks for tuning in to the Dynasty Pulse podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the Dynasty Pulse. I want to thank everybody for subscribing, reviewing the show, listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or however you tune in every week. Just before we get started, last week we dropped our website, dynastypulse.com. We mentioned it. We talked about it a little bit. You know, we got some general NFL information on it. Our podcast is a link to the site. We're working on redraft, Debbie rankings too, man. You know, it's some exciting stuff. We're really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to hearing all the feedback and also looking forward to hearing you guys tell us why we're stupid and our rankings are awful, you know. But, yeah, man, so we're going to cover one big segment today, and that is controversial wide receiver groups. So we're gonna run through like five or six different groups. Our first group is gonna be Michael Gallup versus CeeDee Lamb. Nick or Al, you guys wanna start us off?
All right, I'll start off, I guess. So we're kind of attack this in like who's better in a redraft or dynasty format. So at first in redraft, this is just a little controversial. I don't know. I kind of want to take Lamb over Gallup here. Like, and it's not. Like, it's I wouldn't be, like, crazy if you said that you want a Gallup over Lamb. I totally understand both sides. I just have a feeling that they're going to throw Lamb right in the outside across from Cooper right away. And I just think that whoever plays across from Cooper is going to pay instant dividends. I don't know if it's going to be Gallup or Lamb. With a shortened offseason, it might just, you know, it might just end up being Gallup and ease Lamb in with the slot role. Which is fine. Look what Cobb did last year. He was definitely serviceable as a flex guy in redraft leagues. But I don't know. I don't know how you can how you can take away the talent that Lamb gives you on the outside. I mean, he was just so dominant as an outside receiver in college. But again, I mean, like Gallup also played very respectfully. You know, had over 1,000 yards. And honestly, a lot of people slept on him, taking him out of like the top 25 in their rankings, including myself. So,
you know, Gallup low-key on a game per game basis outplayed Amari Cooper. You don't want to hear it, Al, but
dude, that's not true.
It's just not true.
It's close.
You want to tell me that all the time? People are going to tell me, oh, like Cooper only plays well at home games. Stop. He played hurt.
Kyle put up another fire tweet about that a long time ago.
Dude, Kyle, you gotta talk to me here, man. Like, what do you feel on this situation? I know in your tweet originally it says you have Gallup over Lamb, but I mean, like, you gotta agree with me at the point that like you think that Lamb is a more talented outside receiver, which will pay a little bit more than a slot role, right?
I do. No, I totally agree. I do think that CeeDee Lamb is the more talented wide receiver. Whether you put him on the outside, put him in the slot. The tough part about this offense is that I legitimately think that all three wide receivers can play on the outside in the slot. Wherever Dallas decides to line them up, I think all three of them will thrive. But it's just rookie receivers. The issue with rookie receivers is that quarterbacks tend to not trust them quite as much when they already have one or two trusted options, like Dak Prescott does here with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. And see, from a dynasty perspective, I can't pass up the profile of CeeDee Lamb. I mean, the dude just turned 21 years old. 17th overall pick in the draft. He has killer draft capital, 38% dominator, 19-year-old breakout age, 6'2", 200. Like, it doesn't get any better. That's why I'm taking CeeDee Lamb in Dynasty, because moving forward in 2021 and beyond, I think he is most likely to be the wide receiver 2 in Dallas and potentially the wide receiver 1, because I believe that after the 2021 season, Amari Cooper has zero guaranteed money in his contract. So that's something to look out for. But 2020 alone, I just have trouble putting a rookie wide receiver, no matter who the wide receiver is, ahead of a guy who had 66 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 6 touchdowns in his second NFL season. That it it's just as simple as that for me.
Does the drop rate concern you at all, though? I mean, like, that's like his biggest concern. Like, now he actually is someone that can put him in the doghouse and take him out of a more premier role with his drop rate.
See, and that's whenever I hype up Gallup on Twitter, it's always, you know, 5 to 6 comments, no matter what. But his drops. It's definitely a concern, as I believe he pretty easily led the league in drops last year. But we've also seen Amari Cooper have his fair share of struggles, and Dak Prescott has no issue going right back to him. It's not, with drops in the NFL, it's not an issue of, oh, he lost X amount of fantasy points as a result of these two drops. It's, will your quarterback continue targeting you if you drop a pass per game, or, you know, half a pass per game? And we've seen from Dak Prescott that he has no problem going back to either one of his star receivers who have struggled with drops in the past. So that it doesn't concern me as much as it concerns most people.
Kyle, where do you have CD in your rookie rankings?
He's wide receiver one, pretty easily for me. He's actually in a tier of his own. If when I'm ranking my overall rookies, we'll say in a one quarterback league, I view it sort of as not a top tier of six players, but after those top six players, for me, it's the top five running backs and CeeDee Lamb, there's a drop-off. And it goes to show you that I'm extremely high on Lamb in 2020, but mostly in 2021 and beyond. So in Dynasty, I'm crazy high on the guy. It's just in 2020, I can't deny the production that we saw from Michael Gallup in 2019.
Yeah, I actually really like what you brought up about the drop rate and the fact that Dak just kind of continues to go to his guys. But I also agree with you in the sense that, you know, I just have a hard time putting a rookie receiver over a guy, especially that hit 1,000 yards last year. I mean, the past two seasons, we've both seen, even last year, Terry, A.J. Brown, D.K., the best season we've had out of those guys is one 1,000-yard season. You know, like, I'm pretty confident that I know CeeDee Lamb's great. You know, I'm not taking away from him, but in redraft I would go Michael Gallup for sure. But in Dynasty, you just can't pass up CeeDee Lamb. Like you said, his profile is ridiculous. He's insane after the catch, like insane with the ball in his hands. And I personally believe he will be Dallas receiver one in time.
Now, it's interesting. They're both 6'1", I saw, and they're almost the same exact weight, too, to be honest with you. Gallup's got a little bit more muscle on him, but I just found that interesting that their figures are very similar. You guys know I'm not big on Dak at all, but, oh, my God, he's got every weapon in the world.
It's just also, like, Kellen Moore's offense, like, Dak will be throwing the ball the majority of the time. That's why I was kind of okay with selling Zeke. I know Zeke's going to get his share and his, you know, he's one of the elite running backs in the NFL, but I don't know. I just, like, it feels like that Lamb could be whatever, like his talent could really show, because he's never going to get that number one corner on him ever.
Kyle, before we move on to the next group, give me a realistic amount of targets that you see CeeDee Lamb getting this season.
Oh, man. See, that's so tough to predict with these three guys, because I wish I could give all of them 120. Let's see.
Because you know Zeke's going to get, you know, a lot. He always gets his targets. And
yeah.
And Blake Jarwin is, you know, he's also going to produce.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all right, so Michael Gallup had 113 targets last year. You'd have to think that number drops a little bit, probably closer to the 100, maybe 105 range. So I'm thinking, rough estimate for CD, probably 85 to 90 targets, and that's still a heck of a lot for a rookie wide receiver to work with, especially one as talented as CD.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Your guess is as good as mine. It's going to be difficult. There's just so many variables that come into play this year, you know. Let's move on to our next group. We have Jerry Jeudy versus Courtland Sutton. Anybody want to start? Nick, let's hear it.
Yeah, so Kyle, my question for you, because I know you picked Sutton for both redraft and Dynasty on Twitter. I kind of see Jeudy as more of a security blanket for Drew Lock than Courtland Sutton would be. And, I mean, we saw Sutton last year he really broke out. What do you think his ceiling is like overall? I mean, we saw last year 72 catches, 1,112 yards and 6 TDs. I mean, you think he's going to get that much better than that, or what do you think?
Honestly, I do. I think that Courtland Sutton's ceiling is close to maybe an 85 reception, 1,400 yard, 10 touchdown receiver.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dynasty wide receiver one for me. He's a top 12 receiver. I love him moving forward. I just think he profiles as an alpha. And it's not because, you know, he's a big, tall wide receiver and Jerry Jeudy's more of a smaller, slimmer guy. But we saw last year Courtland Sutton really just separate himself from the rest of the receivers, pass catchers, any type of receiving option in the Denver Broncos offense. And you might say, yeah, well, there were no other options in the Denver Broncos passing offense for the most part besides, you know, Noah Fant, who was a rookie tight end. But that just goes to show you that Courtland Sutton facing cornerback ones on opposing teams with an extremely young quarterback in Drew Lock, who, you know, kind of got off to a bit of a shaky start, was still able to put up over 70 receptions, 1,100 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And that was with cornerback one coverage on him. Again, not a very established quarterback, an under-established tight end. Now we're heading into 2020. We have Melvin Gordon, an established running game. We have Drew Lock heading into year two. And we have Jerry Jeudy, who I think profiles as an NFL wide receiver too. And the reason I say that is, and I know this is the age-old argument, but he was pretty easily outproduced by Devonta Smith at Alabama. And I know that's a controversial thing to say, but I don't see Jerry Jeudy outperforming Courtland Sutton, who has proven he's an NFL wide receiver one, if Jerry Jeudy is unable to outperform Devonta Smith, fellow college wide receiver.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I can't disagree with that as an Alabama fan. Those three guys, even four guys, were amazing, incredible to watch. And I mean, even last year, I know you were saying about how Sutton kind of proved it. I mean, with the numbers and with the tape, I thought he looked phenomenal, even playing with Joe Flacco throwing him the ball for the majority of the season, which is pretty amazing to me, because Flacco has never really supported a good receiver. And I mean, I am a big Drew Lock believer. I'll buy into the hype a little bit. But, you know, I like Sutton. I'm just a big Jeudy homer.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I mean, I'm high on Jeudy too. It's tough to say because he's my rookie wide receiver four, and it's hard to say that I'm high on someone who I'm lower than consensus on, but I'm a sucker for draft capital, and Judy's got it. I'm investing in him at his current price. Just because I'm investing in the other top rookie receivers also doesn't mean I'm not a big fan of Jeudy. I'm just a bigger fan of Sutton, who I think, I mean, you mentioned how good he looked on tape. I mean, gosh, he looked good on tape. I mean, yeah, he was ripping balls away from top corners in the league. I mean, he looked like a 5-year vet who's the proven wide receiver one on an NFL team.
Kyle, let me ask you two questions real quick. One, do you believe in Drew Lock moving forward? Do you believe that he can really, you know, just very beneficial for multiple wide receivers moving forward?
I do. I think that the Drew Lock hype has gotten a little bit out of control. I'm seeing him valued as a top 10 to 12 quarterback in Dynasty. I'm seeing him valued over guys like Carson Wentz, Josh Allen, more often than I would think. And I'm not on board with that, but I think that he can support a couple of solid wide receivers and a solid tight end, Noah Fant. I think if we put him in a situation like Dallas, where we say, okay, you have to support three stud wide receivers, a running back in the passing game, and a quality tight end in Blake Jarwin, I don't think he's that level of quarterback. But I think we're going to see enough from Drew Lock moving forward to where he can support two 1,100 yard wide receivers, and then maybe when Sutton hits his peak, maybe we see him get into that 1,400 yard range like I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I also kind of buy into the fact that Drew Lock can support a lot of these guys just because of Pat Shurmur alone. Over the past 10 years, he's only finished below 16th in the league twice, and he has 5 top 10 finishes in pass attempts for his teams. So he clearly likes to throw the ball a lot, and I definitely think there's a lot of talent there, like you just said. So, you know, I love the Sutton projection of 1,400 yards. That's awesome. I hope Judy can carve out a decent role his rookie year, though.
And, Kyle, the last question I wanted to ask you on this was, do you think that Denver's O is a little too crowded? Like, does that concern you? Like, do you sit there some days and think, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe Drew Lock's going to struggle to really benefit multiple wide receivers moving forward? Because I personally do struggle to, I have Judy around 900 yards this year, but you know, I hope I'm right, man. I hope Judy is everything that we hope for and more.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely struggle with it because with Drew Lock, it's pretty much all just projection. Like, we saw solid performances from him in his rookie season, but nothing for me to say I'm confident in his ability to support multiple 1,000-yard receivers, even maybe 3,000-yard receivers if we're getting to the point where, okay, Noah Fant's going to go over 1,000 yards. It's more just confidence in, you know, Shurmur, like you mentioned, the pass attempts. We're pretty positive it's going to be there. And at some point when you have that many talented weapons on offense, you kind of find your spot. You find your security blanket, whether that be Judy in the intermediate game, Fant across the middle of the field, and Sutton a little more downfield. Like, Drew Lock is going to find his niche, and that might be Jerry Judy establishing himself as the wide receiver one. It very well could be, but I think when you surround a young quarterback, put him in a pass happy offense in a good situation, solid offensive line, very solid run game with now Melvin Gordon, Phillip Lindsay, and Royce Freeman, and then solid options in the passing game, even if Drew Lock is just middle of the road moving forward, he's still going to do well, and he's still going to put up fantasy numbers and support these pass-catching options just because there is so much darn talent around him.
Yeah, man, no, that's, you know, you really hit on a lot of points. That's really well put. Our next duo is T.Y. Hilton and Michael Pittman Jr. You know, if you guys want, we can just talk about Jonathan Taylor the entire time, too. Dude, you know I'm a big Colts fan, right, Kyle? Did you know that? No?
I did not know that.
Dude, gonna learn today.
No, man, I've been a Colts fan my whole life, but dude, I've never been so happy in my entire life than when we got any player ever than Jonathan Taylor. Like I knew we were gonna get Luck, so I guess that's why I wasn't super, you know, I didn't like erupt. I knew it was coming, but man, I did not expect to land Jonathan Taylor, so I just freaked out.
We were
out,
on FaceTime when they drafted him.
Oh
yeah.
My god, dude. I'm so hyped. He's better than CEH, by the way. Just getting
out there. 100%. Couldn't agree more. He's my running back one. Pre-draft.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, no, let's get started. So T.Y. Hilton and Michael Pittman Jr. So T.Y., I saw that he recently mentioned that he's looking to play for one more contract. You know, maybe 4 years tops, I'm thinking. You know, if he stays true to his word, he's about to turn 31 in November, so he'd be about 35 by the time he retires. You know, he's got a small frame. It's crazy how he's only missed, like, what, 7 games in 7 years prior to this season.
If you look at his finishes, the last however many years, he's been very consistent.
He averages 15 games a season. Like, he's oddly very healthy, but, you know, after Luck retired I know Rivers is there now, but I think that T.Y. has made his money and he wants to preserve his body and he's comfortable with calling it career in just a few years, like you said, after this contract. But yeah, what do you guys think about both players moving forward, Michael Pittman Jr. and T.Y. Hilton?
Dude, I think Pittman is like the epitome of a true year 3 breakout. I'm not buying into him this year, obviously, because T.Y.'s back fully healthy. I think even next year, if they bring T.Y. back, I think it'll still be his show. Pittman has an age 20 breakout, so I don't know. I mean, we've seen in college it kind of takes him a little while to develop. He came out as a senior, but, dude, I think once Rivers is gone after the contract's up, who knows what T.Y. will sign on to, but That's what I'm saying. Like, after they get just a fresh face in at quarterback, and, you know, T.Y. has a couple of another years under his belt, more towards retirement, I think Pittman will really start to stand out then. So he's a guy that I would be more than comfortable sitting on. He has the draft capital, obviously, second round. He's got a good dominator rating. And like I said, you know, he's age 20 breakout, which isn't phenomenal, but it's not a death sentence by any means either. I always try to get below 21. If they're 21, that's just a big write-off for me. I'm out. But, yeah, I like Pittman. I mean, the Colts have a great offensive line. Obviously, that goes without saying. So, I mean, I like Reich as well. I think he's got a bright future, but not this year. I'm sticking to year three.
Yeah, just to continue off what Nick was saying, Pittman's actually like one of my favorite guys pre-draft. He also played a little bit with Darnold, so I kind of knew about him like when he was first starting off, because he kind of piqued my interest because he had a pretty good Rose Bowl game. His college career is kind of, I'm trying to agree with you and say that like his college career is kind of going to duplicate in the NFL. He's definitely a guy that after his rookie year, like I'm immediately going to text the owner and be like, what do you want from Pittman?
100%.
I'm just absolutely like, hey, like, what do you want from him? I just don't think he's going to come out and be that fantastic guy. But once the Colts get like the quarterback of their future, you know, it might be Eason already. He's gonna be a dominant number one receiver, or dominant number two receiver. I think that his stats his senior year just shows you how great he could potentially be with the 101 receptions, 1300 yards, 11 touchdowns. I mean, it's just beautiful work there. But I don't know. I would definitely take T.Y. and redraft. Definitely Pittman and Dynasty. Just easy answers right there. But again, I don't think he's anything because it's going to be Paris Campbell's year. That is why.
No, I'm very anti-Paris Campbell.
What do you think about Paris Campbell this year?
He's actually one of my biggest buys. He's one of my biggest buys for 2020 and moving forward, just because, I mean, T.Y. is not going to be there forever. Even if he's there 2 to 3 more years, we have second-round draft capital spent on Paris Campbell. Worst-case scenario, he's the wide receiver 3, you know, in 2021 after Pittman's established himself. There's been rumors that he's going to play more in the slot, possibly be a little more of a dump off PPR option like we know Rivers likes. I big time buy for me.
And then how do you feel about Pittman and Hilton?
It's kind of like you guys were mentioning, these are the dynasty versus redraft. They're both easy answers for me. For redraft, I'm taking T.Y. It's pretty easy. I mean, entering his 31-year-old season, but it just comes down to this for me. Last year, I'm going to kind of throw away because he only played 10 games. But before last year, he had over 1,000 yards receiving in 5 out of 6 seasons. I mean, that's epitome of consistency. And the 1 year he didn't have 1,000 yards, he had 966.
Wait, you said 5 out of 6 years, right?
Yeah, 5 out of 6 years.
That's crazy, because that's exactly what OBJ is too. It's just, yeah, no, wow, okay. No, I guess I knew that. I just never really thought about it like that, man. That's wild, because, you know, the whole Evans and Randy Moss are the only people to ever do in their first 6. But yeah. go on, man. Oh, no, yeah. No, I didn't know that. Go on.
No, yeah, and then because his rookie year he had 861, and then in 2017 he had 966, and besides that it's been all 1,000-yard seasons if we throw away last season. So, yeah, redraft, definitely taking T.Y. I think he's going to be the wide receiver 1 in that offense. I think he has wide receiver 1, as in top 12 upside in 2020. So I'm definitely taking T.Y. in redraft. And then in dynasty, it's absolutely Pittman for me. And a lot of people look at the situation, they say, oh, Rivers is a free agent after this season. Could it be Eason? That's, you know, maybe not super exciting with his lower draft capital. I think the Colts will finish with, you know, solid record in 2020, but I could see them being a team that makes a move up in the draft to get a quarterback. And that's, I'm not saying it's going to happen, not saying I bet on it, but I could see a situation where maybe Eason comes in, disappoints a little bit, Colts get a middle-of-the-round pick, move up a few spots, and snag, you know, maybe a Justin Fields that might be a little optimistic, or maybe a Trey Lance, or maybe someone that, maybe a quarterback that rises a lot during this college football season. But for that reason, Pittman's a buy for me, just because he's a candidate to see a rise in ADP, no matter how he performs his rookie season, just because I think he's going to see an improved long-term situation 1 year from then.
Yeah, man. Hey, let's look at big picture, man. Forget Fields. Let's go Trevor Lawrence in a Colts uniform. How nice would that be? Oh, my God. I would freak out.
Dude. Trevor Lawrence, Jonathan Taylor, Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
My God.
I only think about it every day. All right. Let's move on to Debo and Brandon Ayuk.
I'm a big Ayuk hater, straight up. There's no way around it. I know, like, I get it. He went to JUCO, whatever. And, I mean, technically he broke out then. But, again, he's another 21-year-old breakout, which I just don't like. I know he was a first-round pick. He's got the draft cap. What actually does interest me about him, though, is, one, his skill set. I think Shanahan will make it work in the offense. I think he is the definition of a Shanahan guy. And I also think that the fact that Shanahan, what, he said he had him first receiver on his board or something like that? He was his top guy? That's insane to me. That's crazy.
What pick did they take him? It was like 14th overall? 16th? No, wait, was it 13th?
No, wait,
they got their 13th from the Colts. Sorry.
It was like 25th or something.
Yeah. I'm sorry. They got their other first from the Colts. That's what it was.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. I just think, like, you know, Jimmy G's not winning a passing title anytime soon. And I like Debo way more than I like Ayuk, and I feel like their play styles are relatively similar. And I also think Kittle's going to continue to be a dynasty tight end one. And, you know, San Fran just run heavy, dude. Like, they run the football. And I don't love Ayuk. I don't, but I'm taking Debo over Ayuk in redraft and dynasty for me.
Why is it going to change, you know? Like, it's not. Like, I think everything is going to stay the same. Like, moving forward, I think they're going to stay as a run-heavy team. I think Kittle's still going
to
get his.
Got him to the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, I think Kittle's still going to get his. Mostert might be nice in redraft, a nice value, but yeah, man, I think you nailed it, 100%.
Yeah, no need to beat a dead horse here. Obviously, I'm a big Debo guy. I'm gonna pick Debo over Ayuk any day. It's just common sense here. I mean, Debo actually would have won the Super Bowl MVP if the 49ers won the Super Bowl, because that's how important he was in his offense. And to think about it, they haven't even fully unleashed him. They just started the, you know, really utilize everything he could possibly do when Sanders got there. So it's kind of nice that AU, you know, jumped along. They have another first-round talent on their team. But, I mean, also, you got to give, like, a little respect to AU on his part, because he's coming from, you know, Herm Edwards' offense at Arizona State. So he's definitely used to that pro-style type of offense. I mean, even though Shanahan's offense is completely different than everyone else's because it's so unique. But, nah, this is the Debo show, and it's no question about it in redraft and dynasty.
Man, my jaw literally dropped. I think we were still on FaceTime when we were watching the first round of the draft, Nick and I. And when San Fran took Ayuk, I couldn't believe it. Like, I literally couldn't believe that they just did that.
I mean, like I said before, dude, I think it makes sense just because I think he's, you know, a Shanahan-type guy opposed to, like, a T. Higgins or
Higgins was on the board. He got 33 overall. Yeah.
I don't know, dude, but I was very surprised. Then to hear Shanahan come out and say that he was the receiver one for them, dude, like, that's wild. But
maybe they know something we don't know. Kyle, you want to add anything to that?
I mean, no, just because you guys literally already said pretty much everything I'd say. I'm taking Debo and redraft in Dynasty. Just one quick thing to toss in is, in 2018, when Ayuk was at Arizona State, he was playing behind N'Keal Harry, 33 receptions, 474 yards, 3 touchdowns. You'd like to see more production. Even if you're playing opposite a future NFL first-round pick in N'Keal Harry, you'd like to see some more production when you're also playing with NFL talent. And then looking at Debo's rookie season, just under 1,000 yards from scrimmage in the regular season, 6 touchdowns. I mean, there's not much more you can ask for. I'm 2020 and moving forward, I want Debo.
Cool, man. No, just glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah. You know? I just, like, this is, like, a completely random question. Doesn't have to do with the discussion, but would you rather have Debo or McLaurin next year?
just next year.
No, this is just like
dynasty. Or
I mean, it doesn't even matter. Like for the 2020 season, who's gonna have a better season, Debo or McLaurin?
I think it's gonna be Debo. I'm going Debo, but it's close.
Wow, I respect the hell out of that.
So we're gonna do two more groups, and then we're gonna get out of here. All right, man. Cool.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we're going to move on to Adam Thielen versus Justin Jefferson.
I think you should start off being as Jefferson's your guy.
So, Jefferson is right around my receiver one or two, man. I can't say that he's confidently my wide receiver one in Dynasty. You know, this year's a different story. I could see him actually putting up better numbers than Lamb, but I do have them neck and neck for this year. And I kind of want to lean Lamb as my receiver one for Dynasty over Jefferson. But I just love – I don't know what I don't like about this kid because he's got so much going for him. I mean, of course, you got Stephon Diggs who just left. Thielen turns 30 in August. You know, also, shout out Kirk Cousins.
I know
we give him love on the pod a lot, but, like, man, we need to give him more love because – because he's really that good in fantasy. You know, he's over the last 5 years, he's averaged over 4,200 passing yards. Just like that's the consistency. That is exactly what you want your wide receivers to have. You know, that's exactly what you want. And he's thrown over 25 touchdowns, you know, minimum every single year. He's just not bad in fantasy. I like Kirk Cousins.
I think we also need to talk about Dalvin potentially holding out too. I think if that happens, I think the passing volume could go up.
I mean, of course they're going to run Dalvin more than
if he plays.
I know. No, it's a good point. Also, second round draft capital to Ezra Cleveland. Obviously, they're trying to benefit Cousins. They're trying to get a better offensive line. You know, I like a lot of what they're doing over in Minnesota. And real quick, I was looking at Fantasy Pros. Justin Jefferson's wide receiver 31 and Adam Thielen wide receiver 35 in Dynasty startups. So I actually like their rankings a lot, and I really do agree with it. I would be okay with bumping Jefferson up a little bit even higher, man, like receiver 28. This year, of course, I got to go with Thielen. I think Thielen is going to be great, but in Dynasty, absolutely Justin Jefferson, no-brainer, you know. So if there's anything I missed,
dude, yeah, I mean, I'm just going to touch on his profile real quick. You know, first round draft cap, check. College dominator, 30%, check. Breakout age 19, check. Great combine numbers. That's amazing. He's going into a great situation in Minnesota, like everything you just listed, obviously. I think he's got a real chance to produce right away. I would not be surprised if he did put up the receiver one for rookies this year. As far as numbers go, that would not surprise me in the slightest bit. I think it's between him and Rager, really, but we'll see. I like Justin Jefferson a lot. I really do. I think he's really talented. Obviously, the numbers he put up last year are insane, but, you know, that's everybody in the LSU offense. And I mean, he's clean, dude. He's a clean route runner. He's smooth. He's good at making plays and just doing things after the catch too, which I really like. And, I mean, I just think he's got it all, dude. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, little, not much because I agree with the sentiment, but just to add a little bit, speaking of Kirk Cousins, I mean, I could not agree more that the dude is underrated and redraft and dynasty. I mean, people forget that, and it's a boring name. People poke fun because he doesn't, you know, perform in primetime games.
He did have an awesome dance that one day. You remember that?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
I don't know what he was doing, but
the dude, I mean, he performed at an MVP level, like at times last season. I mean, he was genuinely in the dark horse MVP conversation. So, long story short, I love the situation for Jefferson. And then to kind of get a little spicy here, Justin Jefferson is my rookie wide receiver 2 for Dynasty moving forward, but for redraft, he is my rookie wide receiver 1. And I am sticking to that because I'm extremely confident in the situation. While I do prefer Thielen in redraft, because just looking 2016 through 2018, again, similar to T.Y. Hilton, I'm going to throw away 2019 because Thielen only played 10 games. But 2016 through 2018, Thielen had 1,000 yards, 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards. I mean, that's fantastic production. That's wide receiver one production. I'm taking that in redraft all day long. But in Dynasty, I think whoever one of you guys said that he's wide receiver 28-ish for you in Dynasty, that's right around where he is for me. Love the draft capital, nails college dominator rating, nails breakout age, nails the athletic profile. I mean, he's legitimately everything I'm looking for a rookie wide receiver moving forward. He is really confidently my Dynasty wide receiver two, and also really confidently my rookie wide receiver one in redraft.
Dude, I love that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I completely agree with literally word for word. I'm glad we're on the same page. Hey, you guys have anything to add on before we hop to the last one?
No, I think everyone hit the points.
Real quick, no explanation. Just give me an answer. Totally off topic. Ready? Vaughn or Rojo? Go. Who you got? Dynasty.
See, none of the above. No, I'll take one.
Yes. Come on, give me one. Who you got? You have to take one. They were dropped on waivers. You have an open spot. You're going to pick one up. Who are you taking?
Well, dropped on waivers, I'm taking Vaughn at their prices, which I've seen. Keyshawn Vaughn has an ADP of the 10th overall rookie in one quarterback leagues. I think that's crazy, and I'll take Rojo at their respective prices, but just in a vacuum, I have to pick one. I'll take Vaughn.
Okay. It's just really debatable. I put a poll the other day, and people are going nuts. Like, it's like, dude, it gets like toxic. Like, people do not, like, they're just very strong on one side, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for sure. Let's do Deontay versus Chase Claypool. Nick, why don't you start us off since you're...
Wait, can we just make this Deontay versus James Washington versus Chase Claypool?
Whoever wants to start us off, just start us off, because I'm all here for it. We can add Antonio Brown in too if you guys want.
Actually, Kyle, you start this one off, and then we'll just follow up what you're saying.
All right, sounds good. So, James Washington, Chase Claypool, and this is going to get really, really spicy in a little bit, so get ready to hold on to your hats. But I'm taking Deontay Johnson over both those guys. He has the draft capital I'm looking for, and I know both Claypool and James Washington have the draft capital too, so that pretty much becomes a level field. We've seen two relatively disappointing seasons from James Washington, so he'd be third on this list for me in Dynasty. Claypool would be number two, but my issue with Claypool is he tested out of this world athletically, but if you turn on the film, you don't see it. Like, it's not there, in my opinion. I think he looks stiff. I think he's very slow off the line. I don't think he does well in press coverage, even though he's a bigger body guy. I think if you put him in shorts or in combine underwear or whatever you put him in, I think he's going to test, you know, 90 whatever percentile. But on the field, I just don't see it. I think he's would be better as a tight end. I would have more interest in him in Dynasty if he were a tight end. And looking at Deontay Johnson's rookie numbers, 59 receptions, 680 yards, 5 touchdowns, in a horrible situation with a carousel of terrible quarterbacks. I'm easily taking Deontay Johnson here in redraft, really easily taking him in Dynasty. And this is where I'm getting spicy. You guys mentioned James Washington, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson. I'm going to throw a little bit of Juju Smith-Schuster in here. And I'm going to say, do not be surprised if by the end of the 2020 season, Deontay Johnson's final stat line and Juju Smith-Schuster's final stat line look extremely similar.
Kyle, I literally want to kiss you right now. That is amazing. That is the greatest thing I have ever heard. I am the biggest Deontay Johnson truther in the world. I think he's so good, and dude, to hear you say that is amazing. Dude, these guys were giving me a lot of stuff for it last week when I was gassing up Deontay over James Washington, Mr. 700 yards in year two. Like, yeah, that's cool and all, but Deontay did it as a rookie, man, and I think his skill set is just way different than Chase Claypool. Obviously, the build's different, the athletic profile's much different. Deontay didn't test, you know, relatively close to what Claypool did, and like you said, I am much more interested in Claypool as a tight end, and I think that's what Pittsburgh should have drafted him as. I mean, I don't know if that's their choice or how that really works, but again, I'm more interested in him as a tight end. So yeah.
Love it. I love it.
God, I hope you're dead wrong, man, because I just paid two high first next year for Juju. I really do, man. But no, I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, with Ben's going to be throwing the ball a lot. That's a given. You know, he's whatever. He's got one, two seasons left in him. You know, he's going to be throwing a lot. I know they just added Ebron, but I do like Deontay moving forward, man. Yeah, Pittsburgh's offense as a whole is just going to be exciting. I feel like James Conner kind of got a weird boost, too, because he's just flexing on Instagram all of a sudden.
I like James Conner. I've always been a big fan, bro. Lately.
If he plays, he's great. That huge.
I know, man. He's got an awesome story, too, you know, beating cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a Pittsburgh guy, bro. He wants to be there forever.
It's just got to stay healthy.
I know.
It's the thing.
Yeah.
Especially as a running back, you don't really have a long-term life, and you're playing for that second contract almost immediately as you step on the field.
Last question before we end things, and are you guys going to ask anything too? Do you think that Juju and Deontay could both crack 1,000 yards this season, just like, you know, Juju and AB did in the past?
100%, I do. I don't think it'll be nearly to the magnitude that, you know, Juju and AB were. I mean, those.
Of course, yeah.
Comparing AB to Deontay Johnson, I can't do that. But
of course not.
But if we see something along the lines of maybe, you know, right around 1,100 yards for Juju and, you know, 980, something like that for Deontay Johnson, relatively similar reception numbers. I'm not sure if I can say, you know, both are going to be 1,100 yard receivers. But if we see Juju right around that 1,100 mark, and Deontay Johnson just under 1,000, that would not surprise me at all. In fact, it's probably what I bet their final stat lines end up being.
Yeah, man. Do you guys have any questions?
Honestly, Kyle, can you give me some Matthew Stafford hype real quick? Because I know you're a big fan.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. All right. You made a mistake by getting me started on Matthew Stafford.
Yes, dude. Yes.
I think if I had to pick one dark horse candidate to be the quarterback one overall in 2020, and if I had to pick one dark horse candidate to be the wide receiver one overall in 2020, it would be Stafford and Golladay.
Oh, man.
Without a doubt.
Ooh, that's spicy.
Al's feeling himself right now after that comment.
Dude, that I literally put out a tweet and said that Golladay should be a top five receiver walking into 2020 season. Literally just tweeted that like a week ago.
I could easily see it, and because you have Matthew Stafford, he only played pretty much the first half of last season. But if you take those numbers from the first half and extrapolate that to a full season, he's quarterback two overall, right behind Lamar Jackson.
He's ridiculous. He's legitimately ridiculous, and he's literally sitting on a waiver wire right now, and I just can't drop anybody to pick him up because it's a one QB league.
So
there's someone like sitting right next to me that is Daniel Jones as a starter that
dude,
I tell him every week,
no.
tell
I
him
not,
every
I
week
not.
To pick up Stafford. I'm just playing for the season.
I won't, dude. I'm so confident in Daniel Jones, it is insane. I'm also a Giants fan, so it's just not gonna happen.
Oh,
but
true.
Jones is my guy in Dynasty, so I don't care.
Thanks, man. We're ready to wrap things up. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, of course. Thank you guys so much for having me on, man. It's a blast every time.
Yeah, dude. Let me know if you're ever in Jersey or I'm heading to Fort Lauderdale tomorrow. I know you said that you're in Florida. I'm going down with my girlfriend. We just got a condo there recently. My parents did, you know. But yeah, man. Let us know if you're ever in Jersey. You know, we'll go hit a bar up or something. We'll get you a drink. We'll just chill, man. That'd be awesome if you're ever in the area. You know. But
appreciate you, man. Yeah. Hell yeah. Of course.
Yeah, dude. I think that just about wraps everything up. We want to thank you, Kyle, for taking the time talking football with us. Thanks to all our listeners for hanging out too. We drop episodes every week. For more content, go check out @TheDynastyPolls, @NickFootball, @DynastyAbbott, and Dynasty Clayton. We actually care about your Dynasty team, so feel free to ask any questions. Until next time, peace.